for Sadiq Sundiata, a past president of the Ossining NAACP chapter and member of the Free Mumia Coalition, the story of Tuki Williams' rehabilitation makes a strong case for ending state executions. He was instrumental in having the NAACP finally take a stand on the death penalty.
Sadiq Sundiata, you're a member of the Mumia Coalition.
Yes, sir. I'm a member of the coalition and also vice president of the NAACP chapter that brought the resolution to support Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Where did the idea come from to bring it to the NAACP?
Well, that came from Pam Africa, and she had been trying to get the Philadelphia NAACP, Howard University, NAACPs all around the country. But I had knew Safia Bukhari for many years, and somebody thought to ask me since I was a former president and now the vice president. So that's how we hooked it up. The first year in Miami Beach, it failed because they tricked me. And I was on the convention floor talking to Pam that we were coming to Philadelphia in 2004, so we planned for it.
So why is the NAACP so uncomfortable with the issue of the death penalty?
I think they're uncomfortable because, you know, they get monies from different corporations that basically support the death penalty. W.E.B. Du Bois said the central question would be one of race in the 20th century. And we're the most volatile part of America. Anything that happens in our community, they try to squash and put down right away. So these corporations use the NAACP, some chapters, not all, to keep conditions cool and not to raise controversial questions.
Do you feel in general the NAACP is out of touch with the situation with African Americans in this country?
Well, what I feel now with the new person that's in, Bruce Gordon, he went to see Tuki. And Tuki's not even in the resolution of the NAACP. Not only that, but they offered Tuki a job from prison to work with the NAACP intervention program with youth. So it's unfortunate that Tuki was executed and murdered by the state, but we have a man on death row that the NAACP passed a resolution to support, and we want them to do that.
Were you surprised when Governor Schwarzenegger rejected Tuki Williams' appeal for clemency?
No, I wasn't surprised. You were attending the Committee to End the Death Penalty rally that they had at the National Black Theater. I posed the question, what if Tuki dies? Because I know the state is not going to let this man live to be an inspiration, to show that redemption is possible. Minister Farrakhan had a big march on atoning for sins. And here's a living example, somebody that did it. And you got to remember, the FBI under Hoover said, don't let there rise up a black Messiah, because they can't take no chances, you see.
When the march reached the state building on 125th Street, Queen Mother Dr. Blakely, a deputy mayor of Harlem, performed a water libation ceremony to celebrate the transition of Tuki Williams' soul to the ancestors. She spoke of the loss that is felt in the community.
To our divine family and the spirit of Tuki Williams, the creator and the God force, Tuki brought us to his side, where on that Monday, when we was watching for Arnold the Governor Schwarzenegger to give him clemency, and at 12 noon it didn't take place. At 1 o'clock, I received the call from my brothers and sisters and said, Queen Mother, you gotta be there. I boarded a plane representing this community and all Harlems across the world. At 6:45, I landed in San Francisco, went straight from the airport to the penal institution. As I said, this was a spiritual journey with Tuki. Tuki called to witness what was happening to him in order for us to tell the story to our children. And arriving from the airport straight to the east gate of San Quentin around 8 o'clock in the evening, it was many young people of different ethnicities that were there. They were there hoping and praying that his life would have been spared. And as the young people continue to have hoped that many of their ancestors, their mothers and fathers, would have changed their minds on the ground, the young people came to me and gave me a lit candle and gave me a picture of Tuki. And as I stood there in reflection and prayers, and as the countdown, the young people kept hoping that it would not take place on the ground. The majority of the youth was white youth, And they kept saying to me as Queen Mother, it is not going to happen. I'm sure we would say 7 minutes before the execution. We began to beat the drums to our ancestors. And the guard force had me to prostrate on the ground and turn to the river, turn to the sea of my ancestors. And as we call out to my ancestors, the God forth within me, calling on him and asking God to spare his life. For whatever reason, the creator, the divine force did not allow it to happen. But I'll tell you this, Tuki was a righteous man. God had forgiven him of any crimes. He was redeemed.
That's right.
And as he was pulling me spiritually, I said to Tuki, why this is happening to you? He said, it's not for me, but it's for the children that I love. I asked Tuki to release himself, let go and let God, and he expired. He inspired in peace. And I say to all of us, go and tell our children of the legacy and the story we must tell them from 125th Street.
Right.
For where it rains, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, all of the great giants walked these streets as we stand here on his birthday. Tuki lives. Tuki lives in the hearts of our children. Tuki lives. Tuki lives.
Attending the event was Sarah, a young member of the International Socialist Organization. She articulated her opposition to the death penalty, which she sees as a tool of oppression.
I've been a long-time anti-death penalty activist. I think it's definitely a human rights violation. It violates even the constitution of this country in terms of the Eighth Amendment that bans cruel and unusual punishment. But I think the most important thing to say about the death penalty is that it unfairly and disproportionately targets minorities and the poor. You never see, you know, the people from Bridgewater Firestone getting the death penalty for manufacturing tires that they know are going to kill people. You don't see millionaires on death row. You see poor, mostly black and Latino.
Is there in your mind a connection between the mistreatment of prisoners in the United States and in Iraq? There's been said that some of that actually originated in the prisons of the United States.
Absolutely. I think that they see people that they want to victimize in this country the same way they see Iraqis. And I don't think that they see, especially people of color, as human beings worth respecting. A lot of times it ends up being that some of the same people who are carrying out these torture methods in the prisons in the United States end up being the same ones to go and do it in countries like Iraq. I think it's actually just the tip of the iceberg of a criminal justice system that's all about destroying the lives of ordinary people in this country, particularly blacks and Latinos in the ghettos and the cities of this country. It's a tool that is used to demoralize and depress and destroy communities.
But if the majority of Americans approve of the death penalty, that means that they implicitly support this type of system.
It's true that a majority of people from the United States support the death penalty. However, the number has actually been declining in the last decade. I think it's now around 65%. As people see that so many innocent people have been freed, I think it's 123 people now have been exonerated and freed from death row. I think the more people see those cases of exoneration, it changes their ideas and minds about the death penalty. Also, Tookie's case shows people that even when you've redeemed yourself, it's not enough if you're poor and black and they can use you as a scapegoat to criminalize a whole section of the population.
That seems like a moral issue to me. They don't believe that people can be redeemed.
I think the question is, who's going to redeem Governor Schwarzenegger? Who's going to redeem George Bush? Those are the people who, you know, should be asking for forgiveness, not people like Stan Tuki Williams, whose lives were destroyed by the system and that are turned into victims and turned into pariahs. No, it's about the system that puts people in a situation where they have no recourse other than to form a gang. When the Black Panthers were smashed in his very neighborhood just a couple years before he entered high school, then you wonder, why is it that people turn to gangs? Well, because the political alternatives that were built in the Black Power movement, the Civil Rights movement, had been liquidated by the FBI, COINTELPRO.
So it's a lack of political avenue that forces people to join gangs?
I think it's a response to poverty and racism. There's a different kind of alternative and response, which is to build a struggle for civil rights, for housing, fighting poverty, for decent jobs. And I think that that's the kind of fight that it's going to take in order to better people's lives. And I think that's connected to the fight against the death penalty.
How do you explain that the U.S. is alone among developed countries to use the death penalty at this point?
I think that it shows just how backward this so-called civilized world is. This is, in fact, one of the most repressive societies in the history of the world. It goes around the world repressing other people, and it does the same things to people here and justifies it using racism.
Sarah's sentiment is shared in Europe, where capital punishment is considered a relic of a barbaric past. As if to echo her words, on December 26th, the city of Graz, the second largest population center in Austria, ordered the removal of native son Arnold Schwarzenegger's name from its soccer stadium sign in protest for his denying Stanley Tookie Williams clemency. For the WBAI Sunday News in Harlem, this is Fred Gwynne.